Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Rob Vanstone, and welcome to the latest and potentially greatest edition of the Rider Rumblings video podcast. I am here, as always, with Dr. Murray McCormick, our football writer. And what an absolute honor it is to have with us today Bob Irving, who's been the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers since 1974. And I hope I'm not dating Bob by saying this, but I grew up listening to his broadcasts. I met him for the first time at the 1996 Grey Cup in Hamilton, when I also met his fine son, Kyle. And I felt like I was talking with royalty that day. And 25 years later, I still do, with another Hamilton Grey Cup looming. Bob, without being too gushy, I can't thank you enough for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And Rob, you are dating me, but that's okay. I don't mind. I'm 71 years old and I'm retiring. I've had a wonderful run. I've worked for almost 50 years here at CJOB, and I'm just ready to move on right into the sunset and let somebody else take over. But it's been a blast, and I'm looking forward to the last game I do on Sunday, which will be the West Final, and then we'll see what happens. I'm going to the Grey Cup either way, and then we'll see who shows up in Hamilton on December the 12th.
I'm well, Bob, when I first met you, I wasn't dating you or anybody because I was single. So this can't be your last game, Bob. They've got to let you into the booth for if Winnipeg gets to the Grey Cup. They've got to find some way to get Bob Irving into that broadcast. Like, Bob, like, it's Bob Irving. I know you're a modest fan, but they got to do something, Bob.
You know, 2019, when the Bombers won the Grey Cup in Calgary, we didn't have the rights either. TSN has the rights. They have the television and the radio rights, and I fully understand how broadcast rights work. And sure, I would love to have done the game in 2019 if the Bombers are in it. I would love to be doing it in Hamilton, but and your dog is cute too, by the way, Rob. But no, I accept that. It's just the way it is. And, you know, I don't lose any sleep over it. That's just, look, I've been around too long, I guess, to worry about these things. I know how broadcast rights work, and we accept the way they are.
Mark?
Well, I'm going to mention, I'm the only guy in this little group here that's not born in Regina, which I find was kind of interesting. But you were born in Regina, weren't you, Bob?
Well, I was born in Lestock, Saskatchewan, which is a little, I don't even know if it's still there. It's about 85 miles northeast of Regina, right next to Kelleher.
Oh, yeah. Home of the Comets.
Itoon is not far away, but I grew up in Regina, so there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're outnumbered. There's two former University of Regina students here who grew up in Regina named Robert. So you're totally outnumbered.
I really feel kind of intimidated. Bob, I know you're just, and I kind of hate to put it, you're just doing your job. And is it kind of, how does it feel to have all these accolades? Because really what you've been is an ultimate professional. You've always been about doing your job. And now you're elevated, not saying you weren't, but to this hero status, this royalty. Has it been a little overwhelming, or is it just, I kind of deserve a little love for everything I've put myself through?
Well, Murray, it's been a lot overwhelming. It really has. You know, The station knew that I was probably going to pack it in at the end of this year. That's the understanding I had with the management. And then about 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, we decided that they decided they should make an announcement rather than have me just disappear after my last game after 50 years and people say, where the heck did Bob Irving go? So they put out a release that I was retiring. And man, it's been just so gratifying to have so many people come forward and say nice things about you. It's almost like I died, but I'm hearing my funeral. People saying nice things about me, my funeral. So it has been overwhelming, though, Murray, to be serious. It really has, because, you know, I'm just a guy who feels very fortunate to have been able to live my dream as my life's work, and that's to be a sports announcer and specifically to be a play-by-play announcer. There's nine of us in Canada who do pro football play-by-play. And there's another, what, six or seven who do pro hockey play-by-play. I'm not counting the American Hockey League in that, but it's a pretty exclusive club, and to be part of it is really cool. And so I feel blessed to have been lucky enough to get a job at CGOB and to last as long as I have. So, yeah, it's been great. A wonderful ride, and it's going to end on – you talk about a perfect note for your last game, right? It's going to be Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, this great rivalry. The first West final at IG Field in Winnipeg since 1972. The script is just beautiful.
Bob, I was at that game in 1972. Do you have recollections of the – you ever? I was eight years old with my mom, and we sat in the grandstand, and Jack Abinchak kicked the field. What are your recollections of it?
Well, here's – I got to tell you, this is the truth, too. Everything I say is the truth. So I'm still working in Brandon at the time in 1972, and I've still got my green and white allegiance then because I haven't – you know, I haven't started working at CGOB and doing the Bomber games. And I'm cheering like crazy for the Riders, and I'm glad they won. And yet, then I came here, and if you do play-by-play for a team, it's hard not to have an affinity for that team. It's impossible not to. And there are people here in Winnipeg who still haven't gotten over that 72 final, and the way the Bombers blew that game. And I hear from them periodically. It's quite funny to hear them go on a rant about the way that game ended. But at the time, I was quite happy with how it ended.
Yeah, young Les Lazaruk, growing up in Regina, got tickets from Ken Lukusiak, Gene Lukusiak.
Gene Lukusiak,
who was his high school teacher. And Les went to the game. I talked to him a couple of years ago about this game. It still bothers him. It still bothers him that Mickey Doyle got injured during the game, and the Riders ran the ball down the Bombers' throats. That game still scars him. And 4 years later, I had my Tony Gabriel Grey Cup, or my second Tony Gabriel Grey Cup, and so I guess it all balances out. But it's amazing to think that I still can't wrap my three brain cells around the fact that this is it on Sunday. What do you think that's going to be like for you on Sunday, Bob?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot as you and I speak today. I don't really know. I've thought about it, obviously. It's going to be a little emotional. I think, you know, just doing the game will be fine. But when we get around to the post-game show and I sign off for the final time, I'm not quite sure how I'll react. But I won't say I'll be sad because I'm prepared for this. I'm going to miss it for sure. Like, how can you not miss doing something you enjoy doing? I think I'll miss it more next May when they go to training camp and then start playing in June. That's when I'll really feel like I'm missing something. But I don't know how I'm going to react on Sunday. I guess I'll wait and see.
Kind of, Bob, if you look at your life over 50 years, you stayed in radio because so many things have changed. Like every game's on TV now. Like back when you started, for most of us, it was the radio was the only way we could get the games. Yeah. And now, how have you managed to keep it relevant and fresh despite all the every game's on TV, every game streamed, there's every interviews on TV? How do you keep your job fresh with all these other things out there?
Yeah, well, we do a two-hour pregame show, Murray, as you know. You and Rob both know. You've been on it a million times. So
still waiting for that check.
Yeah, I know. I'll get to work on that when we're done here.
It's the same as we're paying Bob to do this podcast, so we're all even.
Okay. Well, it's reciprocal, right? we work real hard on making our pregame show as interesting as we can because, yeah, the game is on TV, but the 2 hours leading up, if you're a big Bomber fan, and there's thousands of them here, you want to hear the preamble and everything leading into it. So that's a big part of what we do. And then the postgame show too, you know, if there's 30,000 people in the stadium, they all jump in their cars and they're virtually all of them are listening to the postgame show. In terms of the games being on TV, Murray, that's just a reality. But there's still lots. I mean, our numbers on radio tell us there's still lots of people listening out in their cars, shopping or whatever. They're sort of casual fans, but they still want to know what's going on with the game. And then here, and it's the same in Saskatchewan, I guess. I've heard this from a million people. If the Bombers are playing on a Friday or a Saturday night in the summer, the campgrounds are packed, right? And if you're sitting in a campground on a Friday or Saturday night in Manitoba and the Bombers are playing, all you can hear is radios, you know, with the game on because people, there's enough Bomber fans in the campground. They're not full of them, but there's enough of them that they got their radios on. I've had people say, yeah, I was in the campground Friday and I heard your voice blaring through the trees and all that. So there's still a spot for radio. It's still relevant.
Well, we still, my ticket to Bob Irving a lot of days hasn't been CGOB. It comes in kind of faintly in Regina. And the days before streaming and all this, CKDM 730 in Dauphin.
Yes,
was the, and they've been doing that for forever. And so I've heard you on CKDM more than I've heard you on CJOB actually, and that just booms into Regina day and night. So as far back as I could go, even in the pre-cable television days, I was finding a kind of a conduit to be able to hear these games. And what blows me away, I can't think of another active link in the Canadian Football League to Ron Lancaster and George Reed and when they played. Once upon a time, you know, Dwayne Mandrusiak was kind of that link, but I can't think of anybody who's had that kind of service. What was it like to call a game with Ronnie and George, especially considering your Saskatchewan roots?
Well, Ronnie Lancaster is one of the wonderful characters in the history of this league, and I just loved any time I was around him or talked to him or had a chance to watch him play. And it was so, the day he passed away and we found out he passed away, it was really a sad day because, you know, when we went to Hamilton and he was in Hamilton all those years at the end of his life, we just couldn't wait to see Ronnie. I consider George Reed, and I know George's still alive, and I haven't seen him for a couple of years, but I've seen him periodically over the years. In my view, he's the best running back this Canadian football he's ever had. He and Leo Lewis of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I know they talk about Mike Pringle breaking his record. George Reed was better than Mike Pringle, in my humble opinion. That's, and it's all a matter of opinion because their records are quite similar. But no, there was nobody better than George Reed. When people talk to me about running backs in the CFL, I see there's two of them. Leo Lewis, who Bud Grant called the greatest football player he ever coached, and George Reed. Those are the two guys to me that are right up on top of that pedestal.
And they're also, you know, I mentioned George Reed and Ron Lasseter, all-star people too.
Yes.
Which I think, again, you can go out with George Reed. I'll see him at Safeway because he lives in my neighborhood. And people will stop and talk to him. Again, he's pushing his cart, and he'll say hi to them and acknowledge them. Ron Lancaster, I can tell stories of my interactions with Ron as a young beat. Not as young, but some sort of helping out on the beat when he was with Edmonton. And that's things. And I think sometimes CFLers can look at what these older guys have done and how their contributions have extended far beyond the field and field. And stadiums, and I think Ron Lancaster and George are usually among the best of them.
Well, Ronnie was great. So was George. And Rob, you mentioned Tony Gabriel and that game where he caught the pass. Was it Ted Provo who was supposed to be covering him?
It was.
Yeah. but I've seen Tony Gabriel over the years, and he's another sort of Canadian football icon who you just love to run into because, you know, he's engaging and he loves to talk about the good old days. And of course, I go back, so do you, Rob, to the good old days. Not so much you, Murray, or one of the younger guys, right? But no, those guys are absolute gems of people who've been in the, and there's all kinds of them out there. They're everywhere, and they're just wonderful to run into and just reminisce about the good old days with.
And that's one of the things I love, the main things I love about the CFL. I mean, I've been a Denver Bronco fan all my life, or most of my life. I don't think I'll ever meet Peyton Manning. I don't think I'll ever meet John Elway. I don't think, I met Randy Gratishar. That was cool. I don't think I'll, you know, if you're a New England Patriots or Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, you can love Tom Brady. You're probably not going to meet him. If you want to meet Cody Fajardo, if you want to meet Zach Collaros, just go to practice.
Mm-hmm.
They might carry the conversation. And that was that way with Ronnie and George, still is that way with George. That's been the charm of the Canadian Football League for me, is that the fans can feel that direct tie with the players because they aren't just somebody on TV. They aren't just somebody that's distant, that's on an Instagram account. They're tangible. They're real. And the fans might be making more money than the players in some cases. It's so relatable and so accessible. And even in these COVID times where there's 6 feet of distance between everything, you can still feel that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think that's always been one of the great things about the Canadian Football League is the players are accessible. And most of them are just guys like you and me, right? There's no airs about them. And man, oh man, the characters in the Canadian Football League over the years. I kid with the guys who cover the NHL because, you know, you talk about lousy quotes and guys who are programmed. Well, some of these guys in the Canadian Football League, and, you know, Simone Lawrence, and I go on and on about Patrick Levels last weekend, you know, that we had Tyrone Jones and James West and those guys. Man, oh man, the characters in this league. We've had lots in Saskatchewan too.
Westwood.
For us, they're to a degree, a large degree anyway, what makes covering the league fun is because these people are fun to interact with and interview and talk to and everything else. So.
I've got a brain cramp here, sir.
Murray, we just got to take a break. Sorry about this. I'm mandated by authorities far more powerful than me to ensure that there's a brief intermission in this so that they can put something in there. And so we will we'll talk a little bit more with Bob about his remarkable career, which is actually a book or a documentary. We'll try to condense it. And then we'll get into the mechanics and what we expect to see Sunday when the Riders play the Bombers in the West Final in Winnipeg for the first time since 1972. Please bear with us. We'll be right back. And we're back with the Rider Rumblings video podcast. Murray McCormick is with me as always. And as I mentioned earlier, the wonderful Bob Irving, the voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Murray, you were going to ask a question before I so rudely interrupted you.
It's not really related to anything, but Les Brown, I made my young backup career talking to Les Brown. He was okay. He talked about the characters, and he would just fill my notepad up and stuff up for me.
Oh, Les Brown is a great orchestra leader. Leapfrog is a great big band song.
But I just go on. Bob, I know this is, you know, today in the Rider world, the big announcement was Lucius Purifoy, and the Riders was involved in an incident on Sunday night, and the Riders were out in front of it today, kind of trying to get their side of the story. Do you remember when that would happen in the league and we would never hear about it too? Those days that there would be hit, like not too recently, too far back, but it was an interesting way for the Riders to be out there in front of this, to get this all up and sort of avoid it being a distraction heading into this West Final. But I know you've been around the league for a while.
No, I think they did the right thing there. And the thing is, Murray, and you guys both know this with the phone cameras today and everything, you know, there's no way you can do anything and not have the world find out about it within 24 hours. The Bombers had an incident here a few weeks ago with Kenny Lawler, who was charged with impaired driving. And they immediately, the morning of that they found out, they held a news conference. They put out a release, got in front of it, just like they did with Lucius Purifoy, suspended him for a game. And he got up in front of the media and apologized and all the rest of it. And then it was forgotten, you know, not forgotten, but it was behind them. And that's just the way to do it. And the Riders, I think, did exactly the right thing here. And so kudos to them. Get it dealt with. Don't let it linger. You know, don't deny anything or try to hide anything, because you can't today. You can't hide anything today, really. So, yeah, good for them. I think they did it exactly right.
Bob, what are you expecting to see on Sunday?
Well, the weather, first of all, they tell us is going to be around -5, although the forecast changes every day, and a chance of some light snow. And that'd be really good for December 5th, because that's the one thing we've wondered about when we knew the West Final was going to be here. Could it be -22? Well, it could be, but it's not going to be. So that's great. Look, the Bombers had a great year, as you guys know, a year for the ages. Probably the best Bomber team that I've seen in all the years I've covered them. And I covered some good ones when Cal Murphy was here, and the year they were 14-4 and won 12 games in a row. This is a better team than that team that won 12 games in a row. And they lost their last two this year, but they were meaningless games. I'm convinced they'd have been 13-1 if those games meant anything. And just the scores by which they won some of their games. And you guys know they beat the Rough Riders fairly handily in both those games. So I know they're going to be heavily favored. They're going to have to control Cody Fajardo's running. He helped win the game against Calgary with his running on the semifinal game with his running. I mean, that's one of his strengths for sure. And it makes him a dangerous guy beyond, you know, his passing. So I think if they can sort of keep Fajardo off balance, and they've been able to do that the two games this year and to a degree in the West final in 2019, although, you know, that game could have gone either way, and the Riders had bigger numbers than the Bombers did in terms of offense. But I think if they can handle Fajardo, I think they'll win the game. You know, and look, I know all things are possible. You guys remember 1989 when the 9-9 Riders went in and beat a 16-2 Edmonton team. So I don't take anything for granted. All things are possible. And Saskatchewan is a good team. They were 9-5. I mean, this is a good team. So they could win. But the Bombers are healthy. We don't know about Andrew Harris, but they're healthy. They're rested. They're so focused. This team is so focused. Mike O'Shea has developed a kind of attention to detail here that I've never seen before. And it's just hard for me to see them going out there and having one of those kind of weird bad games that teams can have sometimes. They turn the ball over a bunch and all the rest of it, anything can happen. But man, I think the Bombers will win the game. I really do. If they lose, I'll be surprised, but I won't be shocked. Nothing would shock me. But that's the way I see it.
It's kind of like they play a three-quarter game, Bob, because then they get into that fourth quarter, and I remember six. How many points did they actually give up in the fourth quarter?
Well, it was six until the last game, and they gave up 13 in the last game, that game in Calgary, when they were ahead 12-0 and lost 13-12. But, yeah, they were incredible in the fourth quarter. And part of that is the rotation they use on that defensive line. They got six guys there who play pretty well equal time, believe it or not, even Jefferson and Jeffcoat spell out of the game. And they believe that keeps them fresh and strong, and that's one of the reasons why they're so strong in the fourth quarter.
I just saw myself in the screen, and I was wondering, okay, I think people can see me fidgeting here. I'm giving my dog a tummy tickle, just in case people are wondering what I am doing here. I just had to give her another plug, too.
I was going to mention
those Bombers' offensive and defensive lines are so formidable. Do you see a way that they at all could be vulnerable to whatever the Rough Riders throw at them on Sunday?
Well, the Riders have good defensive front. I mean, that's a very good pass rush that they have. So, but you know, Hardrick and Bryant at the tackles, and the guards are good. Pat Neufeld, a good Saskatchewan boy, and Drew Desjarlais, who's really good. What a draft pick he turned out to be. And then Michael Couture at center. You know, the strength of the Bomber team is their offensive and defensive lines. You guys know that. So, yeah, I don't know what sort of blitzes Saskatchewan might come up with to kind of throw them off. But in terms of, and Micah Johnson and those guys, they can come after anybody and create havoc. There's no doubt about that. But the Bomber O-line is so good. It's the best in the league, in my opinion, that I don't think that would be one of their concerns. They know Saskatchewan has a formidable defensive front, but I think they can handle that. And then, to me, the other key is, can Saskatchewan's O-line handle Winnipeg's defensive front, where, you know, those four guys are coming hard, and then you got Big Hill looping around and blitzing, and the things that they do. Brandon Alexander will come rolling up from safety and blitz, and they just created havoc for offenses all season long with that.
Bob, one of the topics here was, after the All-Stars were announced, was the snubs in Saskatchewan, only 2 for a 9-5 team. The Blue Bombers had 15. Was any guys snubbed? Or did...
Any of the Bombers snubbed, you mean?
Yeah. No. Was anybody we missed?
Yeah, no, I understand Leonard being upset because he had all those sacks. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess when the voting was done, I think the Bombers were 11-1, and they were outscoring their opponents by more than 2-1. And so that really influenced the voters, I suspect. Jeffcoat and Jefferson had great years. They had great years. Jeffcoat has become, as a matter of fact, we'd go to on the road and play other teams, and the first guy they'd mention is Jeffcoat, not Jefferson. They'd talk about Jeffcoat and the year he was having. And he had a wonderful year. Never mind the numbers. He's a wrecker. He messes things up. So he's a really special player. He's become a very special player. And Willie's Willie, right? You know, you don't see him maybe for two or three series, and then he's knocking a ball down or making a big play somewhere. So, yeah, I think when a team has a terrific record, they automatically get a lot of All-Stars, although 15 is a lot. There's no doubt about it. And I can understand, you know, some of the players in the league feeling they got snubbed. I get that.
Really, Jack Kolaros is probably going to be named the most outstanding player in the league. When in Saskatchewan, he threw 9 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions and had 2 concussions, at least 2. What has happened to Zach Kolaros in Winnipeg to turn him into such a, well, the kind of player that people were seeing in 2014, 2015?
I would simply say it's the offensive system and the things they let him do. You know, everything. He's never said this to us openly, but reading between the lines, I think he felt sort of handcuffed with the offensive system they ran that year in Saskatchewan. But he's been turned loose by Buck Pierce. Paul LaPolice last year was the offensive coordinator, and Buck was his right-hand man. And he's also got a great comfort level here with Mike O'Shea. Remember now, when Zach came into the league, Mike O'Shea was an assistant coach in Toronto, so they know each other. And when Zach came here, I guess you'd have to spend as much time around O'Shea as I do to understand how comfortable players feel when they arrive here and they talk to O'Shea and they get a sense for how things work here and they go, all right, that's cool. And right from day one, Clara said, man, this is the place to be. This is really a special place in terms of how the players are dealt with and handled. And there's leaders here and leaders there, and everybody's on the same page and following the same edicts and everything else. And then the system they run here is, I think, right up Zach's alley. You know, he can throw it deep. I mean, the Bombers had more deep throws this year than they had all of last year. And they only played 13 games. So, or 14 games, rather. He's just, I don't know, it's just been a good fit for him. That's all. And he's a happy guy. He loves it here.
Is Andrew Harris going to play, do you think?
Well, as we speak, he hasn't practiced in 5 weeks. And I don't know how a running back who's got a leg injury of some kind, it's well hidden. It's either a knee or a hamstring or something. How a running back who hasn't practiced or run, as far as we know, for 5 weeks can step in and play after practicing for 3 days, if in fact he even practices this week, and we don't know that. So will he play? I don't think so. Would I be surprised if he does? Not a bit. Because Andrews, he's an amazing guy, you know. He missed the first three games of the year, and he came back and like he hadn't missed a step at 34 years of age. He's a terrific athlete. He's a far better athlete, I think, than people realize. So I wouldn't put it out of the question that he would play. But as of now, I don't know. I just don't know.
Kudos to the Bombers organization for having the two Canadians that are backing up.
Yeah.
I know Brady is, and I'm sure, is Augustine, is he here? I can't remember. Is Augustine
Johnny Augustine played the last game in Calgary, and he rushed for 150 yards, okay. And he looked like the second coming of somebody. I mean, he was fabulous. Anytime, and last year, 2 years ago in the game in Regina, remember when Harris was suspended, he had a big game. He rushed for over 100 yards. He's a terrific back, and Brady Oliveira has been everything they hoped he would be when they drafted him. So they're in unbelievable shape. With three Canadians. Now, here's the thing about Andrew. And Mike O'Shea said this over and over again. The one thing about Andrew that just amazes him, he never misses an assignment. And by that, I mean he's always in the right place at the right time. If he's to pick up a blitz, he always gets it. And that's critically important. And that's the one part of his game that they would miss the most. Because Andrew is always, always where he should be, picking up the guy he should be picking up. And that's overlooked often. But it's one thing O'Shea just raves about how smart he is in that regard.
One of the issues brought up is that the Riders may have an advantage and they are fresher. They've just played a playoff game and have that playoff edge, whereas the Bombers haven't played a meaningful game since Murray had hair. So do you see that being a factor at all?
I don't know, Rob. That's one of those ones that you're just never sure about, right? Because last year, the Bombers had to go on the road and win a semifinal game, and then a week later, win a game in Regina, and a week later, play a Grey Cup game. And so they got on a roll. And you can argue that many different ways. I don't know. I don't think it'll affect the Bombers. I really don't. I think the Riders will have some pretty good feelings about themselves after their game against Calgary, because that was a beauty. It was one of those great Canadian footballing games that we all love. So I'm not sure how that'll work. I would say this, though. I don't see the Bombers being hurt by the time off. Although if they lose the game, everybody will go, oh, you see, they had the bye. It killed them. They lost their momentum and all that. I mean, I can hear the stories already.
Bob, you're kind of an insider on this. I look at the two secondaries and wonder, which one do you think? I know the Blue Bombers. Which one is better in your mind? Is there a difference? I know, because we talk about the front lines, you talk about linebackers. Yeah. What's going on with the defensive backfields on these teams?
Well, Winston Rose came back for the Bombers, Murray, and that was, you know, a huge addition. He was an all-star in 19 at 9 interceptions. So they moved those other two guys or one of them, Dietrich Nichols, one of the rookies, to the other side, and then DeAndre Alford also went over to the other corner. I think that the difference maybe between the two is Brandon Alexander. Brandon Alexander has become hell on wheels back there at safety for the Bombers. Really, they moved him there late in 2019. They moved him from halfback to safety, and it's a natural fit for him, and he's a leader. He communicates back there brilliantly with everybody. He's got everybody in the right spot. He gets those young guys lined up right. I just think he's become an all-star player. He could have been the Bombers' outstanding defensive player nominee. That's how good he's been this year. So, but I know Saskatchewan secondary is good too. I'm a big Ed Gainey fan. I think Marshall's as good as there are in this league. I don't think there's a better corner than Marshall in this league. So, yeah, I don't think there's much, you know, probably not a lot to give between the two secondaries.
What if it comes down to a field goal and you've got Brent Lawther? What if it's a game comparable to this past Sunday's when it's a kicking contest? Does that then become advantage Saskatchewan?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, Sergio Castillo, who the Bombers brought in late, did kick four field goals in Calgary, and he made three long ones on a cold day. It was -9 that day in Calgary, the last game of the season, and he made a 50-yarder. So the Bombers were encouraged by that because prior to that, their place kicking had been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. And despite that, they were winning all these games, which is hard to imagine in the league. And their punting game is it's pretty average. Mark Leggio had a good game in Calgary again, one of his better ones. But no, there's although you don't have John Ryan, so you've lost something there. But Lowther's he's one of the best place kickers in the league and a guy you can really count on. But, you know, Castillo, before he went down south, had the all-star year in BC, made, what, 89% of his field goals. So I think he's a proven commodity. I know the Bombers feel comfortable with him, certainly more than they did before. But, no, I think you'd have to give the edge in the kicking to Saskatchewan for sure.
Because that was what we used to try to find a hole in the Blue Bombers. We used to say, yes, the kicking game, the punting game. Yeah. But now they plug those ones up pretty well. So I think that's
looks like they have. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are they vulnerable? I don't see it. I just do not see it.
Well, I don't either. You know, people say, where's their weakness? And, you know, most teams have one. I don't see one. And I guess I sound like a guy who's in Winnipeg, but you know, when they were 11-1, it wasn't by accident. As I say, they were outscoring teams by a 2-1 margin. And, you know, their secondary is good. Their linebackers are good. Kyrie Wilson's maybe the most underrated linebacker in the league, in my opinion. And he missed the first 6 or 7 games, but he's back playing. Their O-line is outstanding. Their running backs are good. Their receivers, Kenny Lawler had a breakout year. You know, Nick Dembski, I think, had his best year ever. So Rashid Bailey really came on this year as a top-notch receiver. And they play physical, the receivers. They like to block. Darvin Adams had a down year for him. It became almost a forgotten man. But I think at the start of the year, we would have wondered about their receiving core a little bit. But the way Rashid Bailey and Lawler and Dembski have sort of upped their games has taken that concern away. So here's the one area, okay? It's the one area. If anything happens to Zach Collaros, that's not going to be good news for the Bombers. Sean McGuire will play. He got hurt in the second last game, but he's going to play on Sunday. He'll be the backup.
But you know, it's not like the Riders aren't in the same situation. If something happens to Cody Fajardo, it's not like once upon a time if Tom Clements was having a bad game, there's John Huffnagel coming in, you know, if the Riders had that situation. If Joe Barnes was having a bad game, in comes John Huffnagel. There's no Ken Austin, Tom Burgess. There's no double two-headed quarterback in either market, and that
well, no, and the Bombers changed everything. The Bombers in 19 had when Matt Nichols got hurt, they had Chris Streveler. You know, it was very serviceable, right? And then they brought in Zach Collaros, but they had Streveler and Collaros. So yeah, you're right. The Riders are in the same situation. But you asked me where the Bombers are vulnerable. That's where they're vulnerable if something happens to Collaros.
I hate to say this, Bob, but I hear the play-by-play guy is kind of old.
Yeah, he is. He's more than kind of old. He's very old, as a matter of fact. But you know what? He's got one game left in him and one good one.
What's this week like, Bob? I mean, when I asked you to do this, I almost felt audacious, but I also felt I had to do it. I thought everybody's going to be pulling Bob in 48 different directions, and here I am asking him to do a podcast, which isn't just a quick in and out. What's even just leading up to Sunday? What's life as Bob Irving like right now?
Well, I have been pretty busy, Rob. I've done a lot of interviews on our own radio station. I'm going to be on a bunch of other radio stations before the week is out, and I'm trying to kind of pick and choose, but I have a hard time saying no, because what we're doing here is, like, I ask you guys to help me out on the broadcast, and then how can I say no when you know it's the reciprocal thing I talked about. And that's one of the beauties, I think, of the people in the Canadian Football League who cover the league. We're always prepared to help one another out. So yeah, I'm being pulled in a lot of directions. I'm trying to get as much prep done as I can before the weekend, so that when Sunday rolls around, I've got most of it done and I can just kind of relax a bit and then get ready for the game.
It's so good to hear you still do prep, Burger, because you could kind of mail it in Sunday and no one would say a word.
The check's still coming for Sunday's game, Bob. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does matter. It does matter. It matters what we put out there, right? And I'm big on prep. I'm not great for flying by the seat of my pants. I like to have everything kind of set up for. I got a weird looking depth chart. My family, my wife looks at it and she's, how can you read any of that? And I say, well, it doesn't matter if you can read it, as long as I can read it, right? Then I'm in good shape. So, and the other prep that I do is on our pregame show, I edit and record all the interviews. So I got to spend a lot of time doing that. That's what takes more time than anything, is getting the interviews edited and loaded to run in our pregame show. And as many as 12 or 14 we run in that pregame show. So that's a big part of the work. But I've already got a leg up on some of that. So I'll be in good shape. You know, I said to the station, and I'm going to the Grey Cup next week, and that might be the only guy they send, even if the Bombers are in it. I said, well, that's fine. It's my last week. I'm alive. You can work me to the bone, and then I'll just drop dead, and you'll say, well, we got every ounce out of that guy.
What do you think it's going to be like next year at this time, Bob, or next season? Like, will you be in the stands, or will you be on the 15th green, or what is the 2022 season going to be like for you? We hope to see you at Grey Cup next November here.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to be there too. I don't know. A lot of people have asked me that. I'll go to the games as long as we're here. We'll be here most of the summer, so I'll go to the games. I'll probably sit in the press box. I might sit in the stands. I don't know. I'll see. But I won't lose interest in the league or the Bombers. You know, I'll be following them very closely, and I'm a Canadian Football League junkie. I love the league, all its sham and drudgery and broken dreams. It's still a beautiful thing, as I steal that from the Desiderata. So I'll be around, you know. I just won't be, I'll be able to make my own schedule, and I won't have to go to practice if I want to go golfing. And that's the sort of freedom I'm looking forward to, as much as I'll miss it.
Well, that's my kind of freedom. Flying. I just tell Murray to go to practice, and I sit here with the dog doing podcasts. It's great. Murph, sorry.
You mentioned flying, Bob, and part of your nickname is Knuckles. How did you do, because you don't, you still, do you, have you grown accustomed to flying, or is it still a thing you put up with?
I've grown accustomed to it for sure. But I'm a fearful flyer. I don't know how to say it beyond that. And it doesn't get any better. If anything, it gets worse. It's one of the reasons I'm going to be relieved not to have to do that anymore. I need to take a drink or two before I get on a plane. And when I'm on there, I don't stop. Right. And it's an unhealthy way to live. But look, I cope with it. And you know, if you're going to do what I do, you have to cope with that. And I've been able to cope with it, but it's a problem. And it's one of the reasons, not the main reason, but it's one of the reasons that it's time to step aside. I was nicknamed Knuckles, by the way, by Jack Wells, who saw me on an airplane back. This is the early 70s when I first started, and I was holding onto the seat. You know how you nick the white knuckler, right? Which you never hear that term anymore. But Jack goes, oh, what's the matter, Bob? I say, well, I don't like flying, Jack. He says, oh, you got white knuckles. And then was Knuckles from there on. Cactus Jack gave it to me. That's where my nickname came from.
Greg Drennan told me a story about, and you're free to confirm or deny or no comment, but yeah. Greg Drennan told me a story that once upon a time during the old Skyriders tour, that they bribed the pilot or one of the flight attendants to every 5 minutes throw an empty beer can back from the cockpit into the aisles, so that just for the sheer purpose of alarming you at 20,000 feet. True or false?
That's false, because I'll tell you why that's false. I never went on those Skyriders things because of the flying.
It's a good story.
Yeah, it's a great story, and Greg would tell that story. But it's not true. I missed all those Skyriders things, and I wish I hadn't, because I know they were a lot of fun. The guys told me stories about those trips, but I never went on any of them because of that.
Greg told me a story as well. They went on a bender one night on the Skyriders tour. I'm meandering here. I apologize, but it's a great anecdote. They get into their hotel rooms about 3 or 4 after a night at the bar. And as Greg is trying to put his key in the lock of his hotel room door, this guy basically collapses out of the elevator, crawls to his room, somehow lets himself in. The next morning, Greg gets to the airport, boards the plane, and the guy that was crawling to his room was sitting in the cockpit.
Hence my concerns about flying.
Bob, we just got a little seriousness here. What's the crowd count for this weekend? You know, we saw a lot of empty seats, and Hamilton was pretty good, but a lot of empty seats here, maybe 18,000. I know playoffs don't sell out anymore. I don't think that's just part of the reality, but getting crowds like we've had have got to be concerned. What's it looking like for Winnipeg?
Well, as we speak, it's about 29,000 now. I think they feel they'll hit 30 in the next day or two. So they're going to have a terrific crowd. Now, they've had lots of time to sell the game, which has been helpful, obviously. They've known they're going to host this game for a month now, so that's been a big help to them. Although, when they clinched the West Division title, I think they were over 20,000 the day after. So, and then it slowly creeps up because you always sell the, you know, the first bunch right away. So they're going to be over 30. I don't know if it'll quite sell out, but it'll be a nice, big, loud, huge crowd. And it's going to be a fabulous atmosphere. You guys know what it's like here when the stadium's full, same as Mosaic. And yeah, we were all stunned when we saw that small crowd on the weekend. I don't know, maybe the fans there, they'd seen Saskatchewan play Calgary, what, three times in the last 5 weeks, and there just was no novelty to it. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
They're going to have a big crowd here Sunday. It'll be great.
Everyone asks to read something at the end here, but I will do it before the end, simply because I think the last word belongs to Bob Irving and not for something that we have to read. So if you could please bear with me, Bob, during this. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and a 5-star rating. It helps us grow the podcast. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email Rob at rvanstone@postmedia.com and we'll read it on the show. You can also follow me, Rob, on Twitter at Rob Vanstone, or Murray at Murray LP. Murray had a question there, and then I want to turn it over to Bob because nobody should close this one but Bob Irving.
I can't think of the question was, sorry, because that was just such a fitting way to send Bob off and on this his first and last Rider Rumblings, I think. And well, Bob, I just want to say, as a member of the media, you're a gentleman. You've been so cool. I've loved going on your show. I've loved talking to Doug. I love the way you laugh on the radio. You keep it light. You keep it fun. You get serious. And I really hope you get to say, and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to the Grey Cup on Sunday.
Well, listen, Murray and Rob, you're two of my favorite people. I'm a Saskatchewan native, and one of the highlights of every season is the Labor Day weekend game. It really is, you know, I just love going up there for that game because of the atmosphere. Everywhere you go in Regina, it's green and white and the whole nine yards. And so the fact that the last game I do is Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, you talk about a perfect script. Really, honest to God, it's perfect. And it's a Western final here in Winnipeg at IG Field. And so I can't think of a better way to go out, and I've loved every minute of what I've done. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss guys like you. I think, you know, athletes always say the thing they miss as much as anything is the camaraderie and being around the guys. Well, I'll miss being around the guys on the football beat. That's our family, right? And so I'll miss that as much as I'll miss doing the games. But life will go on, and I'll be on a golf course somewhere, but I'll be keeping a close eye on what the Bombers are doing and what's going on in the Canadian Football League. And it's just been a sweet ride, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I can't think of a better way to end it. Bob, we have enjoyed every minute, not only that you've donated to us today, and this is a donation without a tax receipt, but we're so grateful that in this week of all weeks that you would set aside some time for us. And moreover, I'm grateful for having listened to you long before I met you in 1966 or 1996. And I think I can speak for everybody. It's just an absolute, I feel like I'm in the presence of royalty anytime around Bob Irving. And it's, I know everybody who's ever met you or listened to you feels the same way. So Bob, on behalf of, I think, CFL lovers everywhere, and anybody who's ever had a little dial or uses digital now, I think I can speak confidently in thanking you not only for this time, but for nearly 50 years of it. It's been an absolute joy.
Well, those are very kind words, Rob. I thank you. And it's been a pleasure spending time with you and Murray. And I look forward to doing it again somewhere down the road.
And Candy was pleased to meet you, too.
We were trying to make you cry, Bob, but we couldn't do it. Those
no, I might cry on Sunday at the end of the post-game show. How's that?
All right, we'll deal that one.
All right.
For Murray McCormick, for Candy, who we put to sleep, not because of Bob, and for the wonderful Bob Irving, I'm the other Robert from Regina, and we'll do this again next week and talk about everything that we're trying to digest on Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much, especially Bob, and take care, everybody.